Monday is the 15th. And the 15th is the day that the nation will acknowledge Martin Luther King Jr. The federal holiday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, is always the third Monday of January. So his birthday actually is January 15th. So this year, his birthday falls on the holiday. Can't say that all the time, but we can this month. Now, in preparation for this message, I read over a couple of his speeches, looking for inspiration. And that's not really hard to do, finding inspiration in his speeches. He gave a speech which was entitled, "I've Been to the Mountaintop," on April 3rd, 1968. Now, that date might sound familiar to you, for those of you who know history, because that's the day before he was assassinated. So he gave this speech in Memphis, Tennessee, in support of the sanitation workers who were on strike there. And it's recognized by some to be one of his seven best speeches that he's ever given during his lifetime. Now, 2 years ago, I spoke on the I Have a Dream speech. If you have any interest in listening to it, you can go back. It's called Adonai's Check, and it was dated January 20th. This year, I'm going to lean on the on I've Been to the Mountaintop speech for my message. At the start of the speech, he imagines that Adonai will allow him to live in any time of the past that he wants. He gets to choose when he lives. What does he want to live through? He says he can see himself taking a mental flight through time. He sees the Exodus and the Passover, but he doesn't want to stop and live during that time. And then he continues to the time that Plato and many of the great minds of Greece were gathered at Mount Olympus. But he doesn't want to stop there either. Then on to the Renaissance and their advancements and past to watch Martin Luther tack the 95 Theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. But he says that's not where he wants to stop either to live. Then he saw in 1963 Abraham Lincoln and watched the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. But he goes past that to 1930 as President Roosevelt grappled with the problems of bankruptcy in the nation. And to the speech that FDR gave, where he said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. But he didn't want to stop there to live then either. Then he said this in the speech. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs from the speech. "Strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, if you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy. Now, that's a strange statement to make because the world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land. Confusion all around. That's a strange statement, but I know somewhere, somehow, that only when it's dark enough can you see the stars. And I see God working in this period of the 20th century in a way that men, in some strange way, are responding. Something is happening in our world. The masses of people are rising up, and wherever they are assembled together today, whether they are in Johannesburg, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Accra, Kenya, Ghana, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi, or Memphis, Tennessee, the cry is always the same. We want to be free." I'm going to skip down a little bit in his speech, and he continues this way. "And that's all this whole thing is about. We aren't engaged in any negative protest and in any negative arguments with anybody. We are saying that we are determined to be men, We determine to be people. We are saying that we are God's children and that we don't have to live like we were forced to live. Now, what does all of this mean in the great period of history? It means that you've got to stay together. We've got to stay together and maintain unity. You know, when Pharaoh wanted to prolong the period of slavery in Egypt, he had a favorite formula for doing it. What was that? He kept the slaves fighting among themselves. But whenever the slaves get together, something happens in Pharaoh's court, and he cannot hold the slaves in slavery. When the slaves get together, that's the beginning of getting out of slavery. Now let us maintain unity. And so we come, that was the end of his, of the quote out of that part of the message. I'll read another part later. But so we come to this very fortunate time where this week we have the Torah portion and Martin Luther King Jr. both speaking in unity about unity in the body, freedom, and the work of the enemy, Satan. The work of the enemy against men. Martin Luther King was speaking of the repressed people of color in this country at that time, but also of unity among the people of God. Because it is when there is disunity that the enemy wins. We see hatred bubble up to the surface to further push not just people further away from each other, but away from Adonai as well. When Satan wants to cause disunity, he tries to separate people from the feelings of love that they have for each other. And perhaps the best way to separate two peoples is pride. That feeling or thinking that we're better or superior than other people. This disunity does not present itself as from something that's all dressed all in red with horns and that pointy tail. Right? That's Satan, but that's not the way he presents himself. But Satan fools other people to spread disunity, to spread hatred. Now, Shaul tells us in Romans to watch out for people such as this, Romans 16:17. Now, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep your eye on those who are causing divisions and stumbling blocks, contrary to the teachings that you learned. Turn away from them, for such people do not serve our Lord the Messiah, but only their own belly. By their smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Watch out for those who are causing division and who are placing stumbling blocks before us. And what should you do when you see them? What does the word say? It says, it doesn't say, go and fight them, go correct them on your own, but to turn away from them. Now, we are not to enter into every disagreement we're invited to. You don't have to engage in every single one of them. Even when a person is speaking, is doing it with smooth and flattering lips, right? It sounds good, but it's sowing disunity into our peoples, into our world. They're using sweet words. But that shouldn't fool us. Now, some may be called to come against them, but not all. Some may be supplied with the spirit to fight that battle, but not all. What are all people called towards? What is it that everybody is called towards? Unity. That's what everybody's called towards. Unity in the body. And unity in the body may not always be easy. We all know that that other person is what he's like, that he knows how to push buttons, You know, I look around here and I say, how can everyone not be unified here? We're all lovely people. None of us push buttons. Well, I might be kidding. I might not be. Because there are times that even the best in the body has or shown that they can push buttons. But when that button gets pushed, what are we to do? Well, here's what Shaul tells us to do from Ephesians 4. Therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which we are called, with complete humility and gentleness, with patience, putting up with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Ruach in the bond of Shalom. We're called to be humble. We're called to be gentle, to be patient, to be loving. And by being all these things, we're going to be able to keep unity. Unity by the Ruach in peace. This is the calling that we all have in the body. There are things that will keep us in the arms. These are the things that will keep us in the arms of Adonai. These things he loves, but there are things that he hates. You know, and it sounds funny. How can a loving God hate anything? But when it works to destroy his kingdom, he hates it. He hates them. And therefore, so should we, when we see them within ourselves, especially. Proverbs 6 lists the things that he hates, starting in verse 16. Six things Adonai hates. Yes, seven are abominations to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet that run to evil, false witness who spouts lies, and one who stirs up strife among the brothers. These seven things he hates, because they're tools of the enemy, which are used to destroy unity in his kingdom. They're good only for one thing. And Yeshua tells us that in John 10. The thief comes only to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. There is really but one enemy in our life. Although he uses the faces and bodies of many different people around us. But Satan is only one. The people he uses are just, he's fooling to be able to be used as his tools. And he uses these tools to turn people away from Adonai. Once they turn from Adonai, they believe that they could and should make decisions of what's good and what is evil themselves. But with physical eyes, they're not able to make the right decisions. They come to think that Adonai is a threat to their freedom. They think his words are that should be guardrails that are to protect us. They think they're bars to confine us. They don't understand what's being laid out before them. But Satan wants to tear apart what Adonai has put together. Satan uses disunity to do his work, while Adonai uses unity to further the freedom that we have in him. This is why we're called to be vigilant, looking out for those who are causing disunity in families, in congregations, and in the world. This is why Peter gave this warning in 1 Peter 5, starting in verse Peter 5, 8. Stay alert, watch out. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, searching for someone to devour. Stand up against him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being laid upon your brothers and sisters throughout the world. Unity, as preached by Martin Luther King, is what Yeshua wants from his people. Yeshua says in John 17 about unity while praying to the Father this, John 17:20, starting there. I pray not on behalf of those only, but also for those who believe in me through their message. Excuse me, shouldn't have turned so far since. That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. So also may they be one to in us, so the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you have given to me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, with you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them as you loved me. There's a reason for unity, and it's so that the world will know that Yeshua is the Messiah, and the world will overcome by the blood of Yeshua and be guided by the Ruach HaKodesh. Yeshua is using a logic equation to teach us how to be one with the Father. He says that he is one with the Father, and that we are one with him, and the result is that we are one with the Father. The message he has given is how to become one, not just with each other, but with Adonai. Not just how, but that he wants us to be unified, and that we should also want to be unified as one. Again, each other, again, with each other, but most of all, with him. The picture being painted is of a three-string chord. We to know first that the triune nature of Adonai is one. That Adonai, the Father and the Son, Yeshua, is one along with the Ruach, who would be very soon given in Scripture. Also, we are to be unified as one with Adonai, and that we as people of Adonai are to be one so that together we're able to come before him all the time. We see three unified units, so to speak, that are also to be unified. One, the triune nature of Adonai is unified. Two, man is unified with Adonai through Yeshua. And three, man is to be unified with man. And these three are all to be unified together as a threefold cord, as spoken in Ecclesiastes 4. Though a man might overpower one, two can stand against him. Moreover, a threefold cord cannot be quickly broken. The importance of unity is spoken about over and over in Scripture. The urgency of it is again stressed by Shaul of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 10. Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, through the name of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, that you all speak the same thing, and that there is no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. We are to be of the same mind, the same purpose, not divided, unified in him. And when we are, we will not only have peace in our life, but also in the time to come, eternity. Now, at the end of the speech, Martin Luther King says this, which is how the speech got its name, I've Been to the Mountaintop. Again, I'm going to read a few paragraphs from his speech. He says, I left Atlanta this morning, and as we got started on the plane, there were six of us. The pilot said over the public address system, we are sorry for the delay, but we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane. And to be sure that all the bags were checked, and to be sure that nothing would be wrong with the plane, we had to check everything carefully. and we've had the plane protected, guarded all night. And then I got to Memphis, and some began to say the threats or talk about the threats that were out. What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers? Well, I don't know what will happen now, but we've got some difficult days ahead. But it doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go to the mountaintop. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people, we will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. These were the last words of his speech that night. He was not concerned with what would happen to himself, because he knew he was right with Adonai. But I also think that he saw in his spirit that people were starting to come together in unity. Maybe he didn't see the fullness of it, but he saw it starting. The bones were coming together, as it says in Ezekiel. It has taken a long time for it to appear that people are coming together. Even now, they're still coming together. We have a semblance of it, but we're not there yet. And there have been times that it looks like war with the wars in the world. People are taking steps backwards for unity. They're moving away from each other, and they're moving away from Adonai. But we must continue to do as Martin Luther King did, which is to tell of Adonai and of the Messiah Yeshua and of his love and his desire to see his creation move in unity. He wants us to be one with him and with each other. Perhaps the best example of the strength of unity in Scripture is actually a time that Adonai came down to earth to examine his people, and they were using unity in the wrong way. Right? We all remember the Tower of Babel. We had to scatter the people. The people wanted to build up a tower so that it would reach into the heavens to make a name for themselves. But when Adonai came to observe what was happening, we read this in Genesis 11, starting in verse 5. Then Adonai came down to see the city and the tower that the sons of man had built. Adonai said, "Look, the people are one, and all of them have the same language. So this is what they have begun to do. Now nothing they plan to do will be impossible." They were together. They were unified. They were all speaking one language and understanding each other. Adonai knew then, and it's true today as well, that men can accomplish anything when unified. The tower was a bad thing. Make no mistake about that. Adonai had to put an end to it, and he did. But that does not mean that he doesn't want the world unified. His plan was never to stop unity as a whole. What he wants us to be is unified in our praise to him, unified in his kingdom. Martin Luther King Jr. knew what unity within the body could bring about. And we as the body of Adonai must also follow along with the call for unity within the body. Unity will give strength to the kingdom. Unity will give strength to the messianic movement. Unity will give strength to Karen Orr. And unity will bring strength to families and to individuals. But we must be careful what we are unifying or bonding ourselves to. We do not want to be like those who are at the Tower of Babel, drawing the anger of Adonai because they unified over the wrong thing. So us as well, we do not want to be unified over the wrong thing. We are to unify with Adonai as the Father, Yeshua, the one true Messiah, to the Ruach, the Spirit that was sent as our helper, and to others who have already bonded themselves to those same truths. Then we will, as a unified people, not just see the mountaintop or see the promised land, but we'll be able to enter into the promised land and to be in the presence of the mighty, loving, graceful God for all eternity. Father, we thank you that you have given us the example of unity, the words of unity, the words that will draw us to you and to unify us with you and to unify us with other men. Ruach HaKodesh, I pray that within the congregation here at Karen Orr, that there would be unity. I pray, thank you for the unity that I do see. I thank you that that unity will grow as a family that we are, that we'll grow closer to each other. But I pray even more that we have unity with you and our relationship as a congregation, as individuals, will continue to grow closer to you, stronger with you. Ruach HaKodesh, that you would help and guide us and counsel us how to be unified. That you would help us with the patience and the love that's required to be unified. That you would help us to pardon and excuse others that have hurt us, whether they be intentional or unintentional. Ruach HaKodesh, I ask that you would help my congregation, help my people, help your people to be unified in you, to be unified in purpose, unified in love, unified in wanting to go out and let others know of your great love and mercy, of the Messiah who died for us and shed his blood, of an eternity that we have. Everyone has an eternity. Help us to teach everybody that they have an eternity. But some will have an eternity separated from you because they refuse to accept your message of love and mercy. Help us to pull them from the dark into your light, into your love, and into your mercies. We thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen.